hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives that for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio on the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Terry Savage is on a phone line. We'll talk to her about what's going on in the stock market. She's got a column up about preparing for your taxes in April. I'm so glad she does because I've been looking at mine and I want to start to get a quick view of that. Frank Sennett will be here from Cranes in the second half hour. And there's a promotion being done by Burger King where they want you to download their app, right? So if you download their app and then order a Whopper within 600 feet of an existing McDonald's, they're using technology to see if you're there, they'll sell you the Whopper for free. It sounds kind of weird to me, but it's getting great reviews, so we'll talk about that and more with Frank in the second half hour. All right, Terry Savage on a phone line. Terry, I know you've been busy today, but we have been, in addition to our normal duties, been watching and taking in the funeral for former President Bush, a beautiful ceremony today. And I just, if they're like the rest of us now, I just picture the Bushes and family and friends in the church basement eating cheesy potatoes and cold ham sandwiches.
No, I don't think so. But, well, that was a beautiful lesson for the nation in what politics used to be like and civility and whether you were a Republican or a Democrat, it does take you back to a different time in our political world.
It does, but it should remind us of where we are in this time, too, because, you know, there are a lot of people who loathed George W. Bush while he was in office and are viewing him very sympathetically today. And, you know, if one can be true and the other can be true, he's the same guy, right? And so I just think maybe we should temper our reactions while people are alive as well.
That's probably a good idea. But I'm sorry your memory and mine differ. I just, you know, people were upset that he broke his promise on taxes.
No. I'm talking about his son. You know, people are feeling
So you're right. But that was different even then. It wasn't quite as personal because at least those were, I don't know, they understood a different meaning to the presidency, whether you agreed or disagreed with their policies.
I agree. We're all there on the same page on that. We're also on the same page that we're a little worried about Wall Street. The Dow closed down, 800 points yesterday. Is this about interest rates on bonds, or is it about China trade? The president tweeting today that he doesn't want to sound naive or anything, but he believes President Xi.
Oh, wait. Could we just put a different headline on this? Lots and lots of reasons, lots to talk about. I would headline this a bear market question mark, and the subhead would be recession coming question mark question mark. Now, all good things do not last forever, even though we'd like them to. We've had a long economic expansion and the longest bull market, and you know, because I talk to you every week about this, that I'm concerned about the vulnerability of the stock market.
I get that.
And now we can make the list of reasons you came up with. Let's start with interest rates.
I'll get that it's inevitable. I mean, this is something with downturn.
I think it's
way overdue. It's way overdue. But what is it that
I think it's not only inevitable, but it's imminent.
Well, what is it that's
triggered? So let me just go out on that limb.
What is it that's triggered it? Just old age, or did something happen?
Yeah, no, I think there are a lot of things you can point to. Let me start with the practical, technical ones that typically trigger bear markets and economic slowdowns. And the first thing is, first of all, let's take a look at all the good news we've had in the last 2 weeks that a couple of days sent the market up sharply. The Fed chairman saying, hey, you know, we're pretty close to being done raising interest rates. The market loved that. The president having a dinner with the Chinese president and saying, hey, yeah, we're not going to fight. We're going to maybe able to work this out. The market loved that. With all that good news, the market could not really soar back to its recent highs. And then we have some negative news. I'm going to give you number one, two, and three. Number one is interest rates. We have had something, and people hear the headlines, an inversion. Usually, long-term rates are higher than short-term rates for the simple reason you take more risk lending money long-term. In the last few months, we've had sort of a flat yield curve. You didn't get that much more interest for locking your money up for 10 years, which is why I've been saying, you know, chicken money, 6 months, a year out. And truly at 6 months, you can get about 2.5% interest. Yesterday, we saw a moment where short-term rates moved a little higher than long-term rates. That's because long-term rates have come down out of fear of future weakness. So the 10-year Treasury note yielded 3.25% a few weeks ago and was down to 2.9% yesterday. It's a big drop in rates at the long end. Short rates have moved higher, as all you savers know. And typically when it happens that short rates do move higher than long, you set the stage for an economic slowdown and a recession.
Okay.
So interest rates is one.
You're just on one? Okay. What, I'm sorry, what are the other two?
You know, number two, technicals. There are people who like tea leaves. I mean, I respect them. There are a lot of really terrific people who have lots of indicators. One of the most watched indicators is the Standard & Poor 500 moved below its 200-day moving average of closing prices. Moving average means go back the last 200 days, and tomorrow we'll go back 200 days. So it's a kind of a moving average. It broke below that. That is a technical indicator that the market's going lower. And the third is the volatility. Maybe we have been lulled to sleep in the last year or two or three when we always buy the dips and the market always moves right back, but we're getting these very volatile swings. That says the pros don't know where they want to be long or short. So how do you know what you should be doing? And the answer is not about the market. It's about you and your personal finances and how really upset you're going to be. Because, you know, they don't ring a bell and say, bear market started.
Right.
Only in hindsight do we see it. But if they ring the bell in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, wouldn't you rather have raised some cash now, even now, down 600 more points?
So we're moving into tax season, which is my wife Sharon's favorite part of the year because...
I hate it.
For me, doing taxes, it starts out as sport and kind of a fun game. And I will call up to her. She'll be upstairs. I'm like, hey, you want to know how much we're getting back right now? And she never wants to know because, you know, when I do TurboTax, the refund always starts high. And and evaporates. And it's like...
I love that. It's an e-sport for you.
I'm like Charlie Brown. I'm like Charlie Brown kicking the football. I'm surprised every year. But
you're going to be really surprised this year.
Well, I have been looking a little more seriously this year because things are changing. You know, I have a Schedule C I file, so with the travel income. So
business expenses,
yeah,
right.
Right. So I'm still going to have to go through it. The itemized deduction is still going to be the way for me. But the more I look at it, the more I think, man, for many of us, maybe most of us, that will not be the case.
Well, again, it all depends. Some people are going to be surprised. The standard deduction is $12,000 if you're single and $24,000 on a joint return. Now, think about this. If you're a single high-wage earner and you own a house and maybe a vacation house, you could lose a lot of deductions because your $12,000 covers only up to $10,000 of property tax and state income tax. And in Illinois, you know, with property taxes going up, maybe you're on your vacation home, you pay a little bit too, and your state income taxes, you might have in the past deducted more than $10,000.
Right.
But that's limited to $10,000 of your single person $12,000. So now if the only things you can add on to that to make you itemize your deductions, if you had either a lot of charitable gifts, that'd be one reason to itemize. If you have a lot of medical expenses, there are very few reasons for people to itemize deductions because $24,000 works better for a couple because they give joint charitable gifts. So that a lot of people who are couples with $24,000, they'll still come out ahead even though you can only deduct $10,000
state
and local property taxes.
So if you're looking at $24,000 for your standard deduction, you would have to have more than $24,000, the two of you, to write off. And so let's say, like you, I think I'm repeating you a little bit, but you're limited to $10,000 in
state. But $10,000, not each. $10,000
no, right.
On that return.
Right. So,
that
brings you to $14,000. Let's say your mortgage interest is another $10,000. You're still at $20,000. You've got to get to beyond four more thousand before it's even worth it for you to write anything off.
Exactly. That's the whole point. So the idea was to simplify, to make it easier for a lot of people, it will. But a lot of people will lose some deductions. And if they haven't withheld enough, or if they run their own businesses and so forth, they might wind up owing taxes in April. And the time to figure that out now is now in December, because you can make a January 15th estimated tax payment.
Tell me about it.
I know I hate to do that at Christmas time, but
well,
that's the deal.
The other thing I learned in reading your column, and it's at terrysavage.com, is Can I, an individual business owner, a person who works for himself, can create his or her own 401k? I did not know that.
Yeah, there are. You need to check with your accountant to see it. But there are ways that you could contribute more than the standard IRA to a retirement plan. That's one of the things you can do and look into. Another thing you can do is, if you're working and you have not maxed out on the allowable amount of contributions to your 401k plan at work, take a look at where your tax bracket's going to come in. Maybe making an additional contribution in December will lower your income so that your additional income is not in a higher tax bracket. There's, you know, the bottom line is, come April, there are not going to be a lot of good places to hide.
Right.
At that point, in April, you're probably, if you qualify for a tax-deductible IRA contribution, you could still make that up to tax filing date. But all the things you can do, you ought to do now. One thing I didn't put in there, Fidelity and Vanguard and Schwab have charitable gift funds. So if you wanted to get a big tax deduction and you had the money to do it, you could put together 3 or 4 years of contributions, open up an account in their charitable gift fund, and then dole it out over the next few years to your favorite charity.
We talked about that in another segment last week, so I'm up to speed on that one. And then the other thing you're talking about, you know, staying out of the higher tax bracket, so giving to charity, they are, I don't think graduate is the right word, but say you know, you're paying a certain rate up to $50,000 and then another rate from $50,000 to $75,000, you're only paying at the higher rate beyond $50,000.
On the marginal income, exactly.
So,
yeah, it doesn't mean, it means 40X percent of your next dollar earned gets taxed at the higher rate. Look, the bottom line is, it's not your patriotic duty to pay taxes. It's your patriotic duty to tell the government to spend less, and when they do, to spend it wisely. We're going to be over $1 trillion in additional debt this year. So your job is to look out for your family. There are not a lot of things you can do. It might even cost you less next year to do your taxes because you'll do a short form, standard deduction, no itemizing. But if you think you might get over that $12,000 or $24,000 level for itemizing, now's the time to look at it and figure it out.
Terry, enjoy the meeting. I've got to run. That's Terry Savage. Read the column and more at terrysavage.com. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. In fact, the Wintrust Business Minute comes up around 12:43 every day, and that's the work of producer Bennett Wakenight. And, well, I don't mind telling you, it's my favorite part of the show. On the phone line now is Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business to talk about what's what there. Frank, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Well, thank you. You're so nice.
You know what I want to do with you, Frank? I want to find a McDonald's. I want to download an app, and then I want to order a Whopper.
Yeah, that's something you can do now, thanks to Burger King having a feisty new promotion out in the marketplace, right?
We were talking about this in the newsroom this morning, and you know, and I read the piece on Cranes by Brianna Kelly, and talking, she was talking to promotions and marketing experts who seem to think this is a great idea. It just seems really weird to me. So Burger King wants you to download their mobile app so you could order a Whopper whenever you're so inclined, or crinkly fries or whatever they have. And so what they're doing is they're giving a promotion where if you download the app, you get within 600 feet of a McDonald's and then order a Whopper, they'll sell it to you for a penny.
Right? And then they'll tell you where to pick it up, the nearest Burger King, right?
All right, so then it's automatically ordered. They'll tell you where it's waiting, and you go to the nearest Burger King. Well, what do you think of this?
Well, first of all, it's great marketing in the sense that goal one, to get people talking about it, that's happening. You and I are talking about it.
They are good at that. Burger King's good at that.
They are, with social media and everything else. But goal two, to get people to sample and try. It's a novel thing. You have to take a couple of steps, though. So, I mean, it's a fairly complex thing. You not only have to download the app, you have to be in front of a McDonald's. Then you have to go where the app tells you to go to pick up your... It's a lot of work for a Whopper.
But,
so.
Well, but they're flame-broiled, Frank. They're flame-broiled.
That's right. Well, I was going to say, you know, the only downfall of this marketing campaign is that you have to eat a Burger King. But I'm a McDonald's guy. I'm a loyal hometown McDonald's
but
guy.
But here's the thing. They're sending you to their competition in order to benefit from the deal. It's like, right? It's like,
yeah,
it's
so,
like
so
Shell.
I'm going to go in. Yeah. I'm going to go in and get two all beef patty special sauce. You know the drill. I mean, that's what I'm going to do when I get that app. But yeah, it is dangerous, right?
It's kind of like, you know, Shell doing a promo saying, go to a BP station and we'll give you a discount.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good talker. I doubt if the, well, who knows? Maybe they'll sell for a penny. They may sell a ton. I mean, you know, a bunch of college kids or people who have a little time on their hands may be moved by this.
But, you really don't like
it. There's a burger. Well, there's a Burger King in the Pedway that I walk by to go to my office every day, and I'll walk the two blocks outside to go to the McDonald's rather than go there.
Burger King definitely is the underdog in this one, right? McDonald's dominates them, but Burger King is I mean, I do like the way they give it their best shot anyway.
They do, and I do. I will say this: French toast sticks are good.
Okay, so there's that. Hey, you guys have Cranes. You've got your 40 under 40 up, and I'm just interested. I've looked through some of the bios, but I'm just interested in what sticks out when it comes to the 40 under 40 to you. I mean, are there trends there? Are there individuals you'd like? Tell me about that group.
Yeah. So the nice thing about 40 under 40 is that it's such a broad based thing. One of the things that we've done over the past few years is we didn't used to allow people to, you know, do the nominations at the level that they do now. And so we have hundreds of nominees as well as people in the newsroom, you know, with their beats, nominating people internally.
Sure.
So it's probably a wider group of people than we've had over the last couple of years than we had before. One of the things I like about, Barack Obama was on the list way back when, became president. So it's like, look at this list today and know that in the next 5-10 years, some people on this list are going to emerge to be the real movers and shakers in the city. And looking at the list overall this year, one of the things I really like is that it's not just focused on private industry or publicly held companies. You know, there's people in government. There's people in, the Illinois State Board of Investment, for instance. There's people in, the academia, University of Chicago. They're politicians, Kristen Mitchell of the Illinois House of Representatives. There's, so you've got the usual kind of what you'd expect from Cranes, and that, you got business people, but you also have a really nice cross section. It's a very diverse list in a lot of ways. There's even an old school, Chicago Sun-Times person on there. So, we cover the waterfront with this.
And I'm beginning to think I never will make the list, Frank, but that's okay. I know there's great value in it anyway.
I think if we're on 50 over 50 at some point, I think we should do that.
I'll be on the 50 way over 50 one day. Frank Sennett. Read more at chicagobusiness.com and, give Burger King a little love. Will you go download the app and just have a Whopper today? I'll buy. It's a penny.
I heard that special orders don't upset them, so that's good.
See you next week. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Hey, here it is.
Start the timer.
Because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. If there's anything we've learned in the past couple of decades, it's never underestimate the power of people when they band together. That's what's going on with the residents in Lincoln Park, as they've banded together to voice their concern about the Armitage branch of the Old Town School of Music being sold. We talked about it before, and the reason was because the company wanted to consolidate, but the neighborhood wants to negotiate with hopes of saving the branch until at least March. That's a lot of people making an influence, but not as many as the number of people impacted by the Marriott data breach. The hotel company came out earlier this week saying that an estimated 327 million people could have had their passport numbers stolen.
Oh no, my girl's trip to the Amalfi Coast is ruined!
Yeah, maybe, but at least Marriott is trying to help, as they said that they would pay for new passports to all of those who were compromised. And they're also offering free identity theft monitoring for everyone. I'm starting to think that we'll look back on 2018 as the year of really terrible data security. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Steve Alexander. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, well, we're going to go talk to, on the phone line is Steve Sinclair, and he's behind this new phone app, which I believe is pronounced Bounty. It's spelled Bounte. Steve, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. I really appreciate it. And yes, you got the name right. It's Bounty, B-O-U-N-T.
You know, this. I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. In all seriousness, I think the app world and the digital world and the creative or innovative ways that we're spelling things now, starting with small case letters in some cases and followed by capitals or whatever. You know, it's going to be interesting 50 years or so from now to see whether our language has changed or the way we write things. I really think we might be in one of those moments.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the Webster Dictionary will look significantly larger.
Right, which is, of course, not the business you're in or why you called, but you're behind this new phone app, Bounty, which is an interesting idea. I can't wait to see if you pull it off, but tell me about Bounty.
So Bounty is an intelligent mobile app that essentially creates a national lost and found, like a digital platform. Bounty's mission is to link people who have lost valuable items with folks who are willing to look for them. And one of the things we want to make sure happens is it gets found before it actually ends up, like, in the regular lost and found. And we all know what that looks like, the bins and stacks and the disorganized areas of venues like airports, transportation hubs,
right,
venues, such as the United Center and whatnot. We want to get those returned to customers, like, right away before it ends up in there.
Okay, so let's say stay with the airport. Say I take off. I boarded my flight. Telephone service was off or whatever, and I realized that I left my computer or my briefcase, at the gate. My briefcase is at the gate. If I am a member of Bounty, then I could say on the app, take a picture or show something or describe the briefcase, put it out there for people, and then the others on Bounty would be free to look for it.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the significant challenges you're going to face right then and there is, well, three: time, technology, and teamwork. The time piece is you're going to have to get it out there as soon as possible, because the longer you wait, the worse it's going to get, because time is not your friend when you lose something.
Right.
So you download Bounty. It takes 2 seconds. Log in. Post your item on there. You would just give it a name, a little description, and then upload a picture, and then you'd put a little push pin on there, say, I lost it in Terminal 3, Terminal 4, whatnot. When you hit OK, it sends a message out to all the Bounty users in the same geographical region right away, so everybody would get it and be like, oh, wow, there's a, you left his AirPod buds, whatever, over by the terminal entrance or whatnot. And they would go over there if they were interested in looking for it.
And it's called Bounty because there's the loser could provide incentive by offering a reward if those AirPods are found. And so people have an incentive to download Bounty and to go out and look, because it might be a way to pick up some cash.
Absolutely. And it's taking the Good Samaritan to Bounty Hunter approach, which is there are people out there who are kind-hearted and willing to look. They just don't know that something's been lost. So if they were on Bounty, they can actually get rewarded for it by, like, say, I'll offer $25, maybe $50 for someone to return them. They're economically incentivized to go look for them.
But here's the thing, Steve, and I know you know this. You're going to need a lot of people.
You're going to need an incredible, marketplace equilibrium. You need people who actually lose items, which we have a lot of those,
uh-huh,
and I've got numbers galore for that. And then there's the people who need to actually be on Bounty that are willing to help. And these are people who are going to be like students and people who are looking to make money, and in between, say, like an Uber driver's in between gigs, and he goes out and says, oh, you know what? I have some time. I'm going to go look for this lost dog for $500. It was in the park next to the neighborhood I just dropped somebody off at. So they're going to be interested when they find that there's economic incentive and they get notified immediately when these items are lost.
So the idea then, there's more incentive to be a looker than a loser, but the loser could sign up at the last minute, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how are you doing?
Well, we just launched about a week ago, and we're already starting to gain traction. We're seeing items getting lost in New York, California, Chicago, and even in Maryland. Everything. We're seeing everything already. I'm amazed. There's a book on there with an inscription, and there's a dad who actually put on just a couple days ago a lost lunchbox. His son lost his beloved Batman lunchbox in the city of Chicago, and he actually followed up with a phone call. He's like, "Can you please make sure?" We're really going to make sure we try to get a win out of that, because that's a really good story.
Well, I love the story. I like the idea. You got to get some numbers, but I know you're well on your way. Where do people find this? Where do they find the app?
You go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, just type in B-O-U-N-T-E, or you could go to the website at B-O-U-N-T-E.net, and there's a full description and instructions on how to download it and install it and use it. It's really easy to install. It's like two steps.
Yeah, I like the idea. And so when will you know? I mean, when do you think you'll know if you're going to be a success?
Well, right now what we're seeing is some moderate growth right now. And I think one of the things that we're really going to see is it become part of bigger institutions like Hertz Rent-A-Car or Avis or airline. We really could use your help here. It would be great if, you know, you could figure out a way for people to find this stuff before they get on the plane.
I love that. That's the way to go. I love that idea.
It's a huge expense. It's a $4 billion a year expense to airlines when they have to deal with lost and found.
Steve Sinclair.
They're going to be incentivized.
Check it out, bounty.net, bounty with an E. Steve Sinclair, great to talk to you. I wish you great success.
Great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate being on the show.